Everybody, Coach John Daly here, back again. Today's date is December 23rd, 2020. This will probably be coming out on Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and hopefully a very, very Happy New Year for all of us. Better New Year coming along the way. On the other end of my line here on the computer, at the end of my cord here, however you want to describe it, I got Coach Dave Rickert in the house, and we are both sharing our second cup of coffee. And we're going to talk about The Garden today. The Garden is a fantastic book, one of the other many great books from John Gordon. And so we've been talking about this for a while and wanted to bring Dave on. And Dave, good morning. How are you? I love the winter scene behind you. I know you're in Texas, but there is snow in the trees on the park benches. So I know that's not a live shot, is it?
John, good morning. Good morning. Welcome. You are too funny and too kind to have me on. I love going online and trying to find backgrounds because it's a good topic of conversation, just like right now.
There you go.
There's a couple good free websites to find pictures. Just type in free photos. I think there's three big ones. Photo something, Pixels, Pexels or something like that, and then like Pixel Bay or something.
Oh, wow.
Like just people with cameras that take pictures, photographers. You can give donations, obviously, too, but photos are out there just to use for free. And, bringing a little Wisconsin down to Texas with the background.
That's so what I was going to say, a Midwestern
feels a little
boy.
More festive. And there a little Michigan, I guess. Michigan,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Those lights and those trees are just great.
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Good, man. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
And likewise. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yes, thanks. So John Gordon's message overall, it's a spiritual fable about ways to overcome fear, anxiety, and stress. And I wrote this note down. I got a couple of things. I know you got plenty of things too. But I think for this year, for a lot of people, there's been a lot more of this. And this year, I've had more of these than ever before. And the effect of these three things have been magnified from my job and your job, probably similar, Coach, because we're dealing with kids. And they bring fear, stress, and anxiety wherever they go. And this is not just a local thing. It's a worldwide thing. And so personally, I've had trouble at times dealing with the fear, stress, anxiety more and more. How's your viewpoint been of all this? Have you noticed it more in your family and with you and with the kids that you're working with? Because this book came at a perfect time, earlier this year. To give us some ideas on some of this, and we'll touch upon some of them. But how's this journey been for you this year, going through these things?
Coach Daly, I mean that's some great points and some good topics of conversation. It's incredible that John Gordon had came out with this before this pandemic came. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unbelievable that dude. I mean, just I love his stuff. I absolutely love his stuff. And the best thing about it is there's powerful points and lessons to be learned with all of his stuff that he does, but they're so easy to read. Like, you sit down, you just get absorbed into them. And the next thing you know, you're halfway through the book, you're all the way through the entire book. And I am not a fast reader, so I cruise through his books pretty quickly. And I just want to know what's going on next. And every time you read it, you get a different message.
Right.
With these times, is if the listeners have listened to our previous podcasts that we've done together, before the pandemic hit, we went through a hell of a roller coaster with my daughter almost losing her life. So I mean, that like brought in the new year, and then the pandemic on top of that. So I mean, it's a combination of kind of both of those. So I mean, I would lie if I wasn't saying that this year has not been a struggle, but it's also been a blessing also. I mean, it's been the whole 360 of everything, because I mean, we did not lose my daughter. Granted, she's got a lot of complications, which we can talk about some other time. But I mean, she is here, she is alive. And the pandemic, it's here, and it's here to stay for right now. And it's not about getting rid of it. It's about coping with it and understanding the struggles and the risk reward of our everyday life, of understanding, as more and more information comes out. And the vaccine right now in the trial stages, obviously it's approved to be given on a larger scale, and God bless those people that are willing to take it and whatnot. And whether or not I'm going to take it, that's a personal thing that I'll have to talk about some other time. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's about living with this and trying to find a way to make the best out of the situation. And yes, it's just been the stress, anxiety, fear, all that stuff. It's a battle, and that's what this book is all about. Is the battle that we live every day, and I feel like the kids. I wouldn't say that they're oblivious, and I'm talking about the students at school and stuff that I see every day. My team, they get it, what's going on. I don't think they get it to the larger scale. I think they're a little bit in their own little world. What they know is what they hear and see within their groups. So I don't think some of them even realize what's going on to the deepness of what's happening globally with everything. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, and everybody's complying because, to be at school, to be able to play basketball, to be able to have practice and have games, they need to follow the expectations and the guidelines that's set for us to be able to live everyday life as normal as we can. And as I call these times, it's not the new norm. This is not the new norm. It's the temporary abnormal times right now, because this is not the norm. It's not even close to being the norm, because we've lived with bacteria and viruses for thousands and thousands of years, and we've never had to do this. It's a matter of time until we get back to our normal times. So temporary abnormal times is what I continue to call this, because this is not the new norm. New norm is the way it's going to stay, and it's not going to stay this way. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm excited to discuss this, because there's just some powerful messages. And as one of them states, some people don't even know the battles that are going on. They don't even know what they're battling. Right. And that's so tough. And we'll get into that. We'll get in that quote later on, because that's one of the ones I starred. But like you said, it's a struggle every day. It's a struggle every day. We got to decide which side of the battle we're going to be on, the losing side, the winning side, or the battling side. It's all three, I guess. You can be on either side, or just be in the midst of, putting up your fists and duking it out.
Yeah.
What about you? How about you over there up in Michigan with what you've been seeing?
You know what? It has been tough, and it's wearing on everybody. I think things are different up here. Some of the rules that have come out, shutdowns, things have been temporarily closed. Back to being open. Sports is a different thing going on up here right now, with even our fall sports not finished with their tournaments. They're going to be pushed back a little bit. Winter sports haven't started really. They're going to be pushed back a little bit. But again, getting through this is the key. And there's things like this that are helping some people, obviously those that read the book. But this message of his, he's got tons of messages, but the one I wrote down that I kind of want to get started with, showing gratitude and being stressed cannot coexist. And that's personally, Dave, is what I've been really trying to do even more, is just focusing on the gratitude. When I'm down, which I have been a lot more lately, like I said, through all this, when I'm focusing on being ungrateful, man, I really have forgotten what I was getting worked up about. And then if I think about it, it comes back, of course, and I start dealing with it. But that hammering point, I think, is just huge in this whole story. Now he does, start off in the book saying, hey, this is a spiritual fable. And so there is the mention of God. And like I've told some of my students, especially my leadership kids, listen, when you hear people talking about their faith and God's involved, that's just part of their journey. That's just part of what they've built their life around. It doesn't mean that you have to believe the same way for things to be working out the same way for you, because I do know some people doubt, and I get it. I am more doubtful of the man-made religion than, like I heard him say again recently, it's the relationship that we have with God. It's not so much the church that you go to, the religion that you follow. Those are man-made, right? And so that got me thinking a little bit more about my faith and personal, right? Personal connection to God. And so, you know what? It'll be brought up in our discussion today. I just don't want to have people thinking that, this is some Sunday sermon or anything. But at the same time, it's the foundation of I know who both of us are. And so to share life. That. Yeah, absolutely. Life. For us,
everybody lives. Every breathing human being lives.
And, absolutely.
And that's, it's life. I mean, every day we have battles.
Yeah. What was the first point that you started bringing up? I'd like to just jump right in.
I kind of wanted you to continue doing. This is your show, John. So
I don't want to hear those points from you. You're a great note taker. Your preparation's unfathomable. I just love it. So I want to have jumping in right with you.
So I want to piggyback off of you before I went into that. Anyway, so like the gratefulness and stress, basically how you can't have both at the same time, or the anxiety. Big shout out to the Difference Makers. I mean, what a great group. What
Absolutely.
An awesome
That's part of
awesome
it right there. Love that.
Group. That video Denise sent to us is about 5 minutes long, and it was like she said she's going to watch it every morning. Mm. I mean, what a great way to start the day. There's this awesome video, and maybe John can put the link to that video for the listeners today. But big shout out. If I forget anybody, please tell me. Denise, Tracy, Jeremy Todd, Dr. Lip, John Daly, and myself. I believe that's, if I'm correct, that's us.
Yeah.
So what a great group.
It is. It is a fantastic group. Trisha,
yeah. Not Tracy. Sorry. Right. Oh my gosh.
We got to find a Tracy now.
I am sorry, Tracy. Trisha. Good God. Yay.
She's neighbors of yours, right?
Yeah, she is. She's down in Houston. I'd love to meet her sometime.
Yeah.
Face to face, socially distant with masks on, of course.
Absolutely, for now.
But until we don't have to. But then, again, furthermore, so I've, besides you, you're a great mentor and you help me out. I'm blessed with a couple other mentors. And another one, I've shown you some of the signs that he's donated for my office. He says, one of the things he says, give thanks and praise and be grateful every day to your God. Every day, give thanks and praise, because you would not be here. You would not be breathing if it wasn't for the person upstairs. And I mean, it's not about religion. You're right. Absolutely correct. I mean, every religion out there, whether it's Christianity, which has so many different umbrellas under Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Sikhism, and then there's just so many other ones. Judaism. I mean, the list goes on forever and ever. They're all so closely knit to each other. The foundations of all those faiths are they believe in a higher power. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're not so different amongst those religions.
Right.
And like any of those people following any of those religions can relate to this book. I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, you don't even have to have a religion to relate to this book. It's just a matter of now, if you're an atheist, I mean, you're going to have a completely different point of view on the book, but still. So that was a great way to start it off. And then if you go to chapter four, it's going to be towards the end. I think it's paragraph number 26 out of 31. If you see it's at the bottom of the paragraph, it says it's scarier to see so many losing.
Got it.
All right. So like I said, chapter four, paragraph 26 out of 31, I might be off with the paragraphs, but it says it's scarier to see so many losing a battle they have no idea they are in. If you don't know you are in a battle, but your enemy does, you will surely lose. I mean, there's just so many things that brew in my head when I think about this. One specifically is from my teaching aspect, and this, I mean, this hits to a T. Let's say you and I, Coach Daly, are having a conversation, right? And a student of ours walks right directly in the middle of us. Okay, that's rude. That's rude. You're not self-aware of your surroundings. You don't know what's going on. It doesn't say excuse me or pardon me or anything. But like, do you get pissed off and yell at that kid and explain to him, like, you know, stomp your feet? What if that kid has no idea what they just did wrong? And I've seen this so many times in the education world, which really irritates me. And maybe I'm just a unique one in our field, but teach first, continue to teach and show and give examples. And after you've done that multiple times in individual continues to not get it, try to figure out other ways to get through to them, or they just might have forgotten or just choose not to learn. But you know, tell that individual, hey, do you realize what you did? Do you realize what you just did? And, you know, if they respond to, what do you mean? Well, like, Coach and I were just having a conversation, and you literally just walked directly in the middle of the two of us. There's an entire hallway. You could have walked around us. You could have just said, pardon me, excuse me, cutting through. Any of those would have been acceptable, as opposed to you just basically walking right smack dab in the middle of the two. Oh, well, I didn't even notice. I was on my phone or I was listening to music.
Right.
It's like, no, I totally get it. I totally get it. But like, make sure next time, you know, you're aware of your surroundings, and you know, it's rude not to, know that somebody's having a conversation. You walk directly in the middle of them, especially if you have alternative options to do with that. And I mean, some of these kids have no idea what's going on. They don't even, and whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, it's about people just understanding the big picture of things. And if they don't know that this battle's going on, how the heck do you prepare for it? How the heck do you combat it and fight back if you don't know what you're up against?
That's right.
I feel horrible for these individuals that are just, I don't know if it's sheltered or not well-rounded, or their perspectives are just tunnel visioned, that they're clueless. Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm winning my battle. I feel like I'm winning more battles than I'm losing, but every day I lose. Every day I'm losing.
That's right.
But every day I'm winning too. I mean, like you said, I'll get in the moment, I'll be grateful for something, but then all of a sudden the stress, anxiety, fear, or, you know, I let something get under my skin that I shouldn't. And that's a matter of time of stepping back and be like, dude, come on. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Things can be way worse off. I got to be appreciative and, you know, focus on the good things, not the bad things.
Absolutely. And I think you mentioned a couple of great points there. It's the teachable moments, because some, you know, these kids, these are not instincts. And if the kids aren't being taught, and it happens all the time when a kid will come up and just start talking to me, and I'll just say, I always give my attention to students first. So even if another adult and I are talking, I'll acknowledge the kid, but just say, hey, can you hold off a second? I'll be with you in just a moment, you know? And then later on, I would talk to them about, if it was really bad, yeah, I would point out some things that, you know, hey, next time just, you know, wait off on the side or grab my attention, you know, while I'm talking, and just, you know, we can make eye contact and I'll be right with you. But that's a great point as far as just the acknowledgement, because these five things that he brings up in this book, okay, as far as the five D's, the doubt, distortion, discouragement, distractions, and division. The distractions, you're younger than I am, but the distractions are so much more now prevalent in our lives than they ever have been before. And again, awful. These kids don't know how, if we're talking about kids again, these kids don't have any knowledge of filtering. And I brought up the point from, I think Sam Crowley's brought this up, but also John O'Leary, Brian Buffini definitely has done a show on focus. And that word was the word that Bill Gates and who's the guy?
They both wrote it down on a piece of paper, if I'm correct.
Yes, that exactly right.
Who was the other one? It was Bill Gates and
The investor, Buffett.
Buffett, yep. Warren.
Warren Buffett, not Jimmy, right.
Although I might be more of a fan of Jimmy than Warren.
I hear you.
Nothing wrong with Warren. I mean, he's a successful man, but I love my Jimmy Buffett.
both were thrown, you know, what's the one word that's meant so much more to your success? And they both wrote down focus. And that is definitely focusing through the troubled waters that we're in of distractions here. And so I love that point, because we're so focused on our own battles that we don't realize that, you know what, some other people are in even worse off than we are. And you bring up some great stuff there, buddy.
If you
love
don't mind,
that.
That literally goes into another one that I'm sure that you have too. And then I'll let you go ahead and
no problem, man.
Next one after that. I just figured this one just really rolls right into that.
Love it. The ball's still in your court.
Okay. Awesome. Appreciate it. Hopefully I'll slam dunk it. Well, my 5'8".
I'll let you go, brother.
Achilles ruptured legs. I'm not going to be able to slam dunk it.
But I will not get in your way.
Maybe I'll drain a three at least.
Okay.
Or make a beautiful pass and get an assist for a dunk.
Yes.
But one of the things you're talking about is we don't really relate well to this generation, and I'm only 36 years old, and you know, the generation behind me, which high school students are younger or whatever, even so, because we don't understand the different distractions that they have that we had. Like, it's, I mean, yeah, we kind of are, but they're completely different distractions than what we're used to. And likewise for yourself. I mean, it's about understanding the distractions
yep.
that the kids have to go through. And if we don't understand what their distractions are, like kind of like what you do, you like to try to get on the kids' same page of, you know, listening to their music, the books that they read, the TV shows, the movies. You like to get on your kids' level, and that's cool, but cool thing, so you can relate to your kiddos better, which I love about you. But I thought this rolled right into it. Chapter 7, right at the end. It's 27th paragraph out of 29. After unhealthy relationships, it's right around there.
Okay.
It says, you may be busy, but not productive.
End
chapter,
of chapter
7, right at the end, paragraph 27 out of 29.
Okay. Yep.
You may be busy, but not productive. And I thought that, like, literally the distractions. I mean, that's perfect. And I'll let you respond to that first, because I kind of stole the thunder by choosing the next one here. But I thought that just kind of with the distractions and everything was perfect for what you were bringing up.
Yep. Right after that, watching a show, playing a video game or social media.
Right.
Are not bad things. And if you do them in moderation, that's fine. It becomes a distraction problem when you do it too much instead of creating your life. And I have this one. So I always told my kids, and I've told my students, not in exact words, but about how the games and the music and not bad, but if you're doing them all the time and it's keeping you from doing other things, but this point right here, create more than you watch. Like, have an active part of your own life. And that reminds me of, I got to do the same thing. Create more than you watch, you know, to the point of, oh, yeah, that stuff is fun. That's fine. No problem. You know, I did fun stuff as a kid too. Okay. But what are you doing to create your life? What are you doing that decisions you make today are going to have some repercussions 6 months, 6 years from now, you know, because of the decisions you're thinking about today. So I love that point, right? You may be busy. What is it? You know, you may, so too are the ants, you know, ants are busy.
Are
all
they
the
being
time.
Productive? Like, you're busy doing stuff, but what have you accomplished? What have
Absolutely.
You truly, have you played 6 hours of video games, or have you done 2 hours of homework?
Yep. And so many of our kids right now, especially being home more, that's part of a huge distraction for them. And that's why so many of them are troubled, because they haven't set up their priorities and stuff yet. You know, that's an awesome point. Create more than you watch. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the ones before that, I think, so it's got to be in the same chapter. Yes. In fact, it's right before. It's a couple paragraphs before.
I wonder if it's – I bet I got it. Go ahead.
Yep. It's at the top of that page. It's in the middle of this paragraph where it's a quote. I know way too many wealthy people have great career, big houses, five cars like mine. But right after that, the truth is the day we die, it won't matter what kind of car we drive.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
How big our house is. How much money we have in the bank. What will matter is, did we live the life God created us to live? Did we develop great relationships? Did we make a difference in the lives of others? At the end of their lives, far too many people realize they were focused on the wrong things, but it's too late. And so some of the things I've been trying to get my kids to realize is that, you know, I've heard of and read some information on different studies. At the end of people's lives, they regret more of the things they didn't try rather than the stupid bonehead mistakes that they did. The embarrassing moments, right? They don't remember, you know, seventh grade, I slipped down the stairs, or I dropped my tray in the cafeteria and everybody laughed. They, at the end of your life, you will be looking back at the things you did not do. And you know what? Truthfully, Dave, we were all made for a purpose. And you know, even if you don't believe in a higher power, you have to at least wonder the question, why am I here? At least wonder the question, why am I here, right? And then if you look at science, where they're looking at, you know, it's 1 in 400 trillion odds that you're even born, there's a reason why things have happened to put you here, right? And so if I can get people to start thinking about your purpose and being passionate about things that you do, and then also making a difference with others, I think that's a powerful recipe for having a pretty decent life, you know? So you had that too, though.
Yeah. So just listen to the questions. I mean, how great are these questions? Did we live the life God created us to live? Did we develop great relationships? Mm. Did we make a difference in the lives of others? I mean, That's it. I mean, think about it. That's what life is all about. If you got your religion, you know, did we do what God wanted us to do? Did we build relationships and did we make a difference?
Absolutely. And isn't it powerful, Coach, that if kids can start thinking about those questions now rather than later in life, that the choices and decisions they can make now can help answer those questions later?
Yeah. I mean, just to be able to be thinking about that right now, it'd be incredible.
Yeah. And I think during these pandemic times, maybe these questions have come out a little bit for people where they've had time to think, they've had time to reflect more than ever before. And maybe some changes will come out, especially for us adults, that I keep claiming we need some of this stuff way more than the kids do, you know, because we should know better, quite
frankly.
We
should know better, you're right.
You know, and a lot of times we don't. And so that's just a real powerful one to get some thoughts going.
That was great, John. That was really good. Yeah. What else you got?
I'm going to hit the ball back in your court, brother.
Oh, geez. Look at this guy. Let me take a quick peek, make sure. All right, here we go. We'll do this one. Chapter 11.
Okay.
I think it's about paragraph 13, so somewhere in the middle. And then it says, because knowing.
Yes, got it. Top of page 99. Yep.
All right. Like I said, chapter 11, paragraph 13 about, and it's just real simple. Because knowing the story and living it are two different things. I'm not a big fan of the I know people. I know.
All right. No kidding.
Like, you know the story. You know what you're supposed to do. Okay. Well, then live it. Like, actually stop knowing what the whole situation is or know what you're supposed to do. Actually go do it. Like, stop being, stop talking the talk. Start walking the walk. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of it. I hope it's less guilty than being guilty, but it's, you know, even like this time right now, the holiday season, I like to say brings out the best in people, and knowing the story of the holiday season of, you know, being giving and being grateful, and then actually living it out and, you know, being willing, it's about being a servant and giving to others right now. And, you know, how many people are living that right now? I mean, this is the best time of the year, at least the way I look at it, rose-colored glasses. I mean, everything's just great. It's the time of giving, gratitude, being with loved ones, and just appreciating all the things we have.
Love
and,
it.
And you know, just living the story out, knowing and living the story.
Yep. You bring up a great point about the people that, I know. But the reason you're discussing that probably with them, whatever it is because most probably they're not doing it. Like, they're not living it when you're kind of bringing up something, whether it's a parent, hey, you know, you got to clean your room, you know, talk to their child. I know. Well, you know what? How come it's still like this if you know? That's a great point, because I think a lot of us, again, adults, you know, probably more faultful than the kids sometimes because we should know better, right?
Right.
We should be doing better too. Yeah, I love that point. You know, do it, live it, put it in action if you know it so well. And so sometimes I think, you know, just thought came to me too, that we're fooling ourselves. You know, we're telling ourselves sometimes that we know what to do and we know and we're trying and, oh, I do that. No, you're not. You're not doing it. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it thorough enough. You're giving up too quick, whatever. And so that's a fantastic point. Chimes right into this next one.
Nice.
This is chapter 10. So probably... because you're going by your paragraphs on your phone, which is
yeah,
why.
Yeah, whatever. Would you say the page, chapter 10?
Page 85.
Okay.
So when he was asked how he did it, he said, I've learned to talk to myself instead of listen to myself.
Ah, yes, okay.
So this is, halfway through or so. If I listen to myself, I hear all the complaints and doubts and reasons why I can't finish the race. I'm too old and tired, and my legs feel like they're going to collapse. But if I talk to myself, I feed myself with the words and encouragement that I need to keep going to finish the race. And I listened to him John Gordon, he did on his podcast, he was telling the story. He's an active guy. He works out, running marathons. And so he did this, it wasn't even Ironman challenge. It's, I don't even know what they call it. Some type of challenge where they had this course throughout the woods. This might have been in Maine or something. And you have an hour to complete the 2.4 or 3.2 mile course, but it's through the woods, some nice easy paths, some very difficult.
Kind of like an obstacle course or?
Kind of like it was a natural obstacle course.
You know, okay.
In the woods, up, down hills and stuff like that. And there's a group of runners that you have an hour to do it. And then at the start of the next hour, they start a new lap.
Okay.
And if you're not ready to go, you're out.
Right.
And so he did a few of them. I think, I don't know if he finished like nine or okay. so laps, you know, but during the race, he this is where this came out, right? I'm too old. I'm too tired. My legs feel like they're going to collapse.
Yep.
But he finally started talking to himself instead of listening to himself. That is something for me that has just been huge. Where I'm trying to talk to myself more than listen to that inner voice about the times I've given up, the times I've quit, the times that, I get mad at my wife or, I get upset at school and
right.
this person doesn't know what they're talking about, blah, blah, blah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Start talking to myself. And yep. so that one.
Stop yourself in the tracks. And
absolutely. That power, yep. it's taking control back, isn't it?
You're right.
Is that something you've connected with?
Oh, yeah. I've done that a ton. And the other, what kind of goes hand in hand with that is what you continuously bring up. And I love that you do the have to's versus get to's because oh, that's yeah, talking yeah. to yourself. You yes. know, that's just a simple rephrasing, talking to yourself as opposed to listening, I have to drive through this traffic and waste time to get to school or work or wherever I'm going to. Oh man. I get to spend a little bit more time reflecting and being able to see the beautiful scenery as I get to school today and I get to work today, get to make money. And I get to work with kids and, just continuously have the opportunity for greatness.
Yes. Love that. And that, if we can have that mindset, coach, of just that continuous journey of getting better, that can help us in our relationships at work, even with ourselves. It really can. All right, brother. I know you got just a crap load here of notes that you've taken. What's next on your list?
I think this kind of goes with what we were just talking about. So if you go to chapter 14, right at the end, paragraph 19, I believe it is. And it's gotcha. Where it starts off with, it doesn't start off, the quote that I have. Your mind and soul is like a garden. All right. So your mind and soul is like a garden. You need to weed the negative and feed yes. the positive each day. If you do it just one time, it won't do much. But if you weed and feed the garden of your mind and soul for a week, a month, a year, 7 years, and a lifetime, your garden will look magnificent and you'll produce amazing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts?
Love that. In fact, that's one of the points I had on my list. Running on page from 126 onto 127.
There you go.
You know what? Yeah, the weeding. And, I'm not a gardener. I mow my grass and, I do fertilizer and stuff like that. But if I can take that mindset of taking care of the grass and the lawn and, finding a weed and pulling it out and doing that same mindset to my mind, the fertilizer, it's good stuff. It's podcasts. It's books. It's music, it's inspirational videos like Denise sent out. It's just that mindset to keep replaying and filling our tank up so that when the weeds hit us, when the negative hits us, when we're feeling horrible, when we watch a news story about how bad this is and so-and-so said this and that, we can filter those things out and toss them out. If we let those things grow and root, right? Those deep roots of negativity, hate, anger, right? Start solving problems. Start looking to find solutions on things, especially with relationships, especially with jobs. That's a perfect thing. It's a lifelong thing, isn't it? That says it right there. Every day.
It is.
We've got to work on this stuff, don't we, Coach?
It is.
What were some of the thoughts on yours?
It's a process. And I mean, I look at it as muscle memory. I mean, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And the more natural it'll be, and you don't even think about it, and it just happens.
Yes.
It's a mindset. It's a mantra, you know. Just get rid of the negative. It's just there's too much negative going on. And half the time I just – like people just get me so short-tempered and snappy and snippy. And it's like, why? Like what's the big – there's some other underlying problem that's yes. going on with you.
Yes.
Why are you taking it out on other people that's not even that big of a deal? Like why take the joy out of somebody else's life to make yourself feel better momentarily when really there's more underlying problems probably going on with you or your life? Like I want you to go to the root of it, weed it out, and then, you know, let that positive blossom, as it says, produce amazing fruit.
Love it. Love it. And that's something that's an inside job, right? Nobody can do that for you. We can offer suggestions to each other. And like I said, good books, podcasts, watching videos, having great people around you in your life. But it comes down to, it's again, Michael Jackson, the man in the mirror, always comes in, right?
Yes, it
you
does.
Gotta take care of it yourself. You got to take care of yourself. And it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. So as we wrap up here in a little bit, with Coach Dave Record here, we're talking about the garden. And chapter 10 is Win the Battle. And probably maybe, 18 paragraphs in.
Okay.
It's at the bottom of page 87. Where it says it should, and Mr. Irwin, when he said this, when truth exposes and replaces the lie, you always feel better and perform better. And I love that. When truth exposes and replaces a lie, when a good habit replaces a bad habit,
mm-hmm.
right? When you find a new way of becoming better, you feel better. When you find a new way of solving a problem or an issue or something negative, right? However you want to phrase this, when truth exposes and replaces a lie, you always feel better and perform better. You're able to do better when you have truths. You're able to do better when you connect to those, I think, and you follow through with them instead of living a lie and blaming other people. And every time I do this, this happens, but it's not my fault, you know, and you're not willing to correct yourself. That one is a powerful one. Again, looking in the mirror, if you can kind of take this one in, when truth exposes and replaces a lie, you always feel better and perform better. When we do better on the court in a game, right? When we do something better for the team instead of being selfish, there's so many good things that can come from that. So any thoughts on that one? When truth exposes and replaces a lie, you always feel better and perform better.
Yeah. I like to think about it so it's my first year head coaching.
Yes.
And one of the things I continuously hear is it's all about habits, creating habits in the program and creating a culture and an environment and getting those habits. Like what are habits you want this program to have? And it's eliminating the bad habits and replacing it with a good habit. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a matter of, you know, like you said, exposing what's the problem, you know, being a solution seeker, not complaining, and figure out, you know, what's the problem? Why is this happening? And then how can we make it better? And then consistently feed that and consistently try to keep that habit growing and then build off of those good habits.
Yeah, because we've talked enough, Coach, about this season and the ups and downs, the roller coaster, right? And then you have a good number of seniors on your squad, don't you?
Yes, sir. 8.
And oh, my gosh. And part of their job this year is to, you know, not only have some different habits, some different mindsets, but I think you've mentioned to them also that, you know what, you girls, by you doing this, you're setting in motion for the program. Like, in other words, right. Years to come, we'll be able to look back at this team. This is your first team, Coach, and the habits and the traditions and the things that they started that are going to continue on. So it's going to be bigger than them because they're affecting a whole program, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're leaving their legacy. Like, yes. What are they leaving behind for the others?
Absolutely. And that's a powerful thing for a kid to think about, saying, you know what? What I do today is going to matter to these underclassmen and the kids on JV and to the other teachers or the district administrators, my coach, my assistant coach, they're watching me. And so the things that are happening, and that's part of what you read about, you know, the life that we lead, right? And the relationships, how important they are for each other. Think about that in school. Think about that at the workplace. Think about that as a family. That's why this message, I think, can bring us so many great results and great new ways of thinking, because we all have fear, anxiety, and stress, and especially now. And I think the more ammunition that we can find in our lives to overcome those things, the better off we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hit it to a T.
I love it, brother. Thank you so much. You know what? There's, again, when we're going through our pre-meeting here before we started recording, once we got the volume issues, and then I froze up on my end, so I know it's probably a little bit on my end too.
It's all good.
This old computer I'm using. We were talking about just the number of great points out of this book and all of John Gordon's books that we found that we wanted to share. And we know that we don't have 8 hours of a podcast, and we could do 8 hours, but we'd have to break it up. But there's just so many good things here. So as we kind of wrap up here, Coach, I know you're a big John Gordon fan, as am I, and I appreciate you turning me on to him and getting me connected to him. What is maybe one of his books that made your Santa list? What is one of his books that you are maybe looking forward to getting to next? Or hopefully, you know what, if I get a little gift card for a bookstore or something, I'm running out and getting this book next. What would that book be?
I mean, I started off my journey with him with Power of a Positive Team, which we did a book study with 2 years ago. So that got me started off with it, which is home runs after home runs after home runs.
Yes.
In each chapter. I just love that book. And I continuously refer back to it. And then it was The Coffee Bean by Damon West and John Gordon that I ended up reading next because of, again, another book study with a year ago. And then The Garden was the next one after that. And then as I continue to, you know, filter through, it's an older one, I think, Power of a Positive Leader.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's a positive team and then there's the leader one. I actually bought the, not did buy, I got the sample on the Kindle just to, you know, I like to sample things before I purchase them and whatnot. So I kind of, I think I read a couple excerpts from there and I'm like, man, that, you know, with me being a first year head coach and stuff, I can't even imagine the tidbits because I mean, I'm a leader and right. I want to be known as somebody that made an impact and somebody that made a difference and not necessarily on what exactly I'm leading, but make a difference on lives, you know, that these girls leave after their senior year and they're able to take stuff out to the real world with them next year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And they'll just be like, oh, you know, Coach R, you know, I remember back when we played for him at Aldi and, you know, he would always say this, or he talked about this and it wasn't about basketball. It was, you know, about how I can take this with me to college, to my job in the future. And, you know, I want to be that kind of impactful leader, not necessarily for the specific thing that I'm leading them on that day. It's about, you know, paying it forward to their lives, you know, that they take it with them. And then they pay it forward to other people that they're working with.
Absolutely.
Or dealing with. And that's the way I'd like to look as. And I don't need them to come back and tell me, hey, Coach, thanks. This made a big impact on me.
Right.
That's not what it's about. It's about having them being successful because of things I have planted seeds within them.
Yep. Love that. And you know that they will too. They will not only remember those light bulb moments. That's why he always would say that. Oh my God. It would just click for him. You know,
the ahas.
Just click for him. Absolutely.
But yeah, that's probably my next one that I'm probably going to look to get sometime in the near future.
Awesome. Well, you just gave me the great idea since, your book study groups have made such an impact on you. Either, you know, you and I need to have one or start one. You, me, and some other coaches, you, me, and our group, the Difference Makers, or these people that you work with down there. You mentioned a couple of the ADs and other coaches that have had a big influence.
My mentor. And like I said, I've got multiple mentors. You're one of them. There's another guy, Coach Richard Delgado, who's just been Like, he's been just an inspiration for me. He was the one that actually hired me as a high school coach 6 years ago as an assistant.
Nice.
And I'm telling you, this guy is full of wisdom and knowledge and experience. And growing up and working with the demographics and dynamics that he did, and the type of leader that he is, and he says what he's going to do and he's going to go do it. Mm. He would be a phenomenal, phenomenal podcast. I know for a fact, like, the listeners would be just, he'd be dropping gold nuggets left and right.
Awesome.
The guy is phenomenal.
The question that Dr. Lip has on his, who do you know that I don't know that I need to get on the show? So that is going to be a great connection, that if you can connect me to him, so I can have him on the show, but also have you on too. We could also do a book study together. I would love
that. People always say it's all about who you know. I don't believe that. It's about who knows you.
Mm.
So, like, for example, let's just say I'm looking to get another job opportunity. Well, you know me, but the person you're talking to up in Michigan, there might be a basketball opportunity coach up there. And you tell them about me, but I have no idea who that person is. Well, guess what? They could reach out to me and be like, hey, Coach John Daly, I mentioned your name. We got this opening. Is this something you'd be interested in? I have no idea who that is. It's about who knows you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that different angle on it. It's a different side of the coin.
Yep. So people, you have no idea who they are, but they know who you are because of the people that you know.
Yeah.
So I guess it's full circle that it is all about who you know, but at the it's that trickle effect of making an impact with the people around you, but then they reach out to the circle outside of you.
Yeah. Love that different angle on it. The book that I got on my list, I heard John Gordon mention.
Yeah, what's yours? Is it a John Gordon or something else?
It is John Gordon. His favorite book out of all the books he's written is Training Camp.
I see. And I've never even heard of that one. And then I looked it up. I thought it was a new one. But no, it's like from the 2000s.
Yep. So that one I definitely want to get. I mean, just looking at the back cover of The Garden, it doesn't even have them all listed here. But the no complaining rule, I think, is a big one for me, because I may not do it in front of other people, but I do complain a lot to myself and definitely my wife.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, there's a difference between complaining to complain, and there's a difference between complaining to find solutions.
Right. And I do. That's where I beat myself up a lot, where I'm complaining out loud, like in my room and stuff, when no one's around. An email will come through, or somebody does this or that, or they want us to fill out this report. And I will say some things, and I kind of catch myself. I'm like, Jesus, John, you know, just listen to yourself. If somebody were in here, what are you complaining, crying about, you know? And so that one would be big.
Sometimes we need to get that stuff off our shoulders, and, you know,
yeah.
And then as we talk out loud or vent to a friend, as you and I have that great relationship, which is crazy. Like 2-3 years ago, we didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
And, like, we can relate to each other so well, which is awesome, because we'll call and vent or talk about stuff. But then we feel so much better, because then we think of ways to deal with it, or be like, okay, it wasn't that big of a deal. Now let's move on with feeding the positive. Now we weeded out, basically by doing that, we weeded out our negative, because we have somebody that we trust to talk to and vent to. And there's no judgments made by either one of us.
Yep.
And, you know, again, like I said, we can relate to each other because we're in the same fields and we know what each other's going through. And that's the nice thing about building those relationships.
Amen to that. And it's all about, you know, making things better. And if when we make ourselves better, we make ourselves better for other people, which is something we need more of. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and the technological gaffes here that we had, but the coffee was good. Hope it was on your end. But just a joyous time of year, as far as the Christmas holidays, but also spending time with you and getting uplifted. My day, I know, will automatically be better since we spent our morning here together, even 1,000+ miles away. But just thank you so much for joining us today. Any last thoughts about the podcast or things going on or anything else you wanted to share?
I think I'm going to leave them with one more quote, and we don't need to even discuss it. It's a good way to end the holiday season here. But first off, I just want to thank the listeners for allowing me to be part of your lives. And, you know, even if you take something from this, I feel like I've made a difference in somebody's lives, and I appreciate it. But just want to say thank you for everybody. Thank to the higher power whatever y'all believe in or whatever, because we wouldn't be able to do this podcast. We wouldn't have been able to get out of bed. I mean, this day is just a gift in itself. And, you know, try to be more positive every day. Every day, just be a little bit more positive and make life better, not only for yourself, but for other people.
Love it.
And, you know, we're all one the same, and we're all fighting the same battle. So why not be together? Which leads into the last thing. It's from chapter 8. I don't need to get into the details. Y'all can find this if you want to. The soul doesn't know nationality or religion or skin color. The soul knows oneness and love. God made us to be one, and yet we allow the enemy to divide us. So, you know, really make a collective effort this holiday season and understand we're all here together. It doesn't matter what color, what nationality, what race, what religion, whether you believe in a religion or not, we're all together. Let's make this a great holiday season. And let's bang 2021 out of the ballpark.
Amen to that. I mean, this New Year's, this New Year's is going to be, I think, a little bit more emotional for everybody as we head into a new year with new hope and everything.
Without a doubt, John. Without a doubt.
Absolutely. And John Gordon, at the beginning, wrote the story. Hope the story fills you with more faith, love, and hope so you can live with more peace and joy. Who the heck doesn't need more peace and joy in their lives? You know, in our work life, in our home life, with ourselves. Top to bottom. And that's what hopefully this little discussion we had today will help some people run out and grab this book, but at least keep finding things to invest in yourself, invest in others. Thanks again, Coach, for joining me this morning. I really appreciate it. Just
hang on
here.
Thank you.
For a second.
And don't give up, people. Don't give up. There's always hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, you guys. Hope you love that. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Happy holidays to everybody out there. I hope you enjoyed our little discussion over coffee here this morning with Coach Dave Rickard from Texas, and he's doing great stuff down there. I really cherish his friendship and admire the guts that he had just to reach out and send me a message a couple years ago saying, hey, what's going on? And we got connected from there. So hope you enjoyed that. All right, you guys, keep taking care of yourselves and each other. And, of course, find me over on Facebook at Coach to Expect Success, over on Twitter at Coach to Success, Coach John Daly on Instagram, and coach2expectsuccess.com. This garden book is on the book list, okay? So check out the book list is growing, and there's more to be added there as I'm reading a couple other books over the break here. So, again, keep taking care of yourselves and each other. Love you. Keep spreading the word, and we'll talk again soon. See ya.